Second Chronicles chapter 24 is our Old Testament reading. Let's turn there together. Second Chronicles 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Baalim. And at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord, and they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Well, I lost my place. Thank you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it." And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him: Zabad, the son of Shimeath the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrit, a Moabitess. Now, concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings. And Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Joash was 7 when he began to reign. We'll have another young king, won't we, a little bit later on in the history of Judah. Although when we think of young kings, we're not minded to think of Joash. We're minded to think of his successor, right, Josiah, great King Josiah. So were the English, by the way, when King Edward came to, Edward VI came to power. They called him the English Josiah because of his faithfulness at a very, very early, tender age. All right, so he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of the days of Jehoiada the priest. Okay, so let's learn from that that there are times when, beloved, we must recognize we need a little help. We need a little oversight. We need a little bit of someone to watch over us to keep us on the right path. That's what Joash needed. He needed a man like Jehoiada to keep him in his behavior faithful. We will also see, with regard to Joash, that even though he had such a great mentor and guide as Jehoiada, that it never quite truly reached his heart, did it? And so the latter end of his life was characterized by apostasy from the Lord rather than by keeping faith with the Lord. So we are minded yet again that an outward profession of faith is never enough. These things must rise up out of hearts purified by faith. We must apply ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ for faith and for perseverance and for all of those saving graces of which Joash had probably none. Okay, so we move on from that. Jehoiada took for him 2 wives. He begat sons and daughters. It looks like we have a prosperous kingdom in the making. And now we have something that commentators have puzzled over. Why was it that Jehoiada was not forward to take the counsel of the king and to go gather up money from all Judah to repair the breaches in the house of the Lord? Why was Jehoiada reluctant to do that? There's lots of speculation. I think we have a clue in the passage. We have, first of all, notice it says, he gathered, that is, Joash, gathered the priests, the Levites, and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten this matter. The Levites, however, hastened it not. Why would that be? Could it be that at this point it was obvious that Joash was, after this, for some nefarious reason, did not bring up that there was a godly mechanism to do this, until later. And it was only after that that godly mechanism was brought up, that is, according to the temple tax that Moses prescribed, it was only then that Jehoiada and the rest of the priests and Levites got behind this offering. And so they set a box at the temple of the Lord with a hole in the top of it that folks could drop their money into as they came to worship. So there are some things that are different about that which goes before and that which comes behind. Perhaps what Jehoiada was loath to do was to have the priests go about as beggars for the house of God. We want to have the best construction on Jehoiada's actions here, because at every other turn in this narrative, he shows himself faithful, with perhaps the common error of taking two wives for Joash. Aside from that, it seems that everything that Jehoiada does is upright here. We want to see him upright also in this. He did not want his Levites to go out as mendicants, because that was not the command of Moses. But when Joash mentions, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it seems everyone's on board at that point. And so we have a proper temple tax being set out. And remember that that temple shekel was the same for everyone. Everyone paid the same amount throughout all the males in Judah. Okay, so that was gathered up, and it turns out it was quite a little bit. For the purposes, I believe, of dual custody, that was brought into the chamber of the king so the civil authority could count that alongside the ecclesiastical authority. And we see there that they had brought money in by abundance, that there was more than what they needed, and that it continued to flow in under the ministry of Jehoiada the high priest. So all indications are that once things are put in their proper order, the priesthood is behind this temple tax, and the temple is indeed being repaired as it should. So they hire the carpenters and the masons and such as wrought in iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord, because in the days of Athaliah it had been broken up. And we will unashamedly draw spiritual inferences from that, will we not? That anyone today that introduces false doctrine and false worship into the church has taken the part of Athaliah to bring down the church rather than to build it up. And anyone that will not collect those things that ought to be collected, and here what I'm talking about is what we see in Isaiah chapter 49, right, or Haggai chapter 1, right, the desire of all the nations, those desirable things from all the world coming and flowing into Zion, and Zion being beautified by Gentiles coming to faith in Christ and by the spiritual worship that she has given. This is how the house of God is beautified. This is how we build today. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. And there was one more thing that they did. What was that? They made vessels out of that money. Try that with our money. There is something to be said in this passage, right? We don't make it the focus of the passage, but we do understand that when the Bible talks about money, it talks about something of substance and weight. It doesn't talk about a note. It doesn't talk about a check. It talks about something of substance and weight. We don't need it anymore for building the house of God and for paying workmen. Now let's turn it into bowls. Let's turn it into implements and instruments, that kind of thing. Well, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. If you weave several dollars together, they still won't hold water. Okay, you get the point. It's an aside. It's not the point of the passage, but it is laying there, and we ought to talk about it. I'm not telling you to become rebels with regard to, you know, the currency of these United States, but I am telling you to know what biblical monetary theory is, because it means something. The Lord would have us have money that is worth something, right? So we move on from there. Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days, and he died 130 years old. And the men that made the burial decisions in those days, they buried him among the kings because he had done good. Well, he had, in a sense, ruled as king when young Joash was still a forming. And so they treated him like a king in his burial. All right, so then after his death come the princes of Judah to Joash, and they say, what? Well, we'd really like to worship in the groves. This is much more pleasant to us. It's much more palpable. Coming into the temple, it's crowded, and there's animals, and all of that. We can be up on the hill, and we can have the breeze in our face, and it'll be so much more pleasant for us, and all of these considerations. And so Joash acceded to the desires of the nobles of Judah, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. The Lord sent prophets to them. He was kind to them. He didn't shut his mouth to them. He sent his prophets to them, yet they would not hearken. They would not give ear. And then finally, one great prophet, the son of Jehoiada, a man by the name of Zechariah. The Spirit of the Lord God came upon him, and he stood up above the people, and he said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. We often talk about different motivations, don't we? We always want, first and foremost, to have the glory of God as our motivation. Because very often, the glory of God will, if that is our motivation, sometimes that means the destruction of our temporal estate, right? Sometimes it means hardship in this world. And we don't ever want that kind of motivation to be turned aside because of the hardships of this world. So we always talk about the glory of God first. That's our motivation. But notice how Zechariah addresses the people here. What does he say to them? You have transgressed the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper. It is, beloved, ultimately in our own self-interest to obey the Lord, is it not? That while it may turn to a temporal difficulty, spiritually, obedience will always be advancing to our estate. You cannot prosper, he says to them. We might take that to ourselves. You cannot prosper, CCRPC, if you turn away from the commandments of God. We cannot prosper in such an estate. So what did they do? They conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus will talk about this when he is addressing scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites toward the end of Matthew chapter 23, that on the blood of you all, this generation shall come the righteous blood that has been shed upon the earth, from righteous Abel to righteous Zechariah, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the pillars of the temple. Well, that's a different guy. That's the son of Berechias, not the son of Jehoiada. Jehoiada means Jehovah be praised. Berechiah means Jehovah be blessed. Indeed, Zechariah was the son of the blessed, wasn't he? So, I believe that Christ speaks of that because in the Hebrew Bible, the first book is the book of Genesis, and the last book is the book of 2 Chronicles. And so you have the first martyr, Abel, that is recorded, and the last martyr that is recorded, Zechariah. And Jesus says that all of the righteous blood in between those two might come to pass upon this wicked generation in Matthew chapter 23. So the first martyr and the last martyr are mentioned by Christ. And I believe he's talking about Zechariah here in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. So he died. And without an ounce of compassion, Joash looks on that scenario and says, what? The Lord look upon it and require it. Right? If I've done wrong, let the Lord require it. Well, he's left the Lord behind, hasn't he? He's worshiping his false gods. How short a time did it take before he goes from wanting to build the house of the Lord to throwing a judgment in God's face? If I've done wrong, take care of it then. Right? How short a time. But this is what happens when our religion has no heart, has no depth. That's where we go. That's where we end up. Finally then, the Lord did look on it and require it. And so the Lord stirred up a very small band of Syrians such that they went out against them probably with much hubris and assurance that, oh, it's just a few soldiers, we'll be fine. And the Lord fought for the Syrians that day. And what happened? They lost, and they lost big. And so while Jehoiada was on his bed, while Joash was on his bed, his servants slew him, and they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. Jehoiada was buried in the sepulchers of the kings, but Joash was not. And then finally, concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, they are written in the story of the book of the Kings, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. We'll pick that up, Lord willing, next hour. Let's stand and call.